Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Those that are going to listen, Father. Father, the enemy is always out prowling. The enemy is turning up the heat on every situation, Father, and in our lives and people's lives that we know, Father. He creates death and destruction, God, to try to tear people down, Father. But we pray to unite and continue to fight, Father. God, spread your word, God. Spread the word of peace, the word of joy, Father, the word of comfort, the word of love, Father God. And God, and just really continue to fight, Father God, and not let the enemy win, Father God. There are distractions and there are detours, God, but you are always there, Father, to get us back on track. Father, we thank you, God. Let Todd lead this message tonight, Father God. Give him wisdom, give him knowledge. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job. Dirty Bird, really? Dirty Bird get a new phone every week. We're going to take up a collection and get Dirty Bird a Jitterbug phone. Wow, man. He threw me off. Now I got to find the login just to send to him. But
he got the same number?
Yeah.
I sent it to him.
Thank you. Tonight, man, I want to, the unforgiving servant. I chose that because a couple weeks ago, I went by my house. I go by there to get some stuff out of the garage periodically. And when I went in the garage, while I was in the garage, I noticed, man, I got so many little crates and totes for stuff for the homeless and the people, right? And all the ministries that I serve and do. And man, when I came across that, I said, whoa. That's me. I'm that guy. I'm willing to do, man, and I love helping people. I love serving. And then as I kept reading, man, God reminded me, Prentice and Glenn, they've been here pretty much for the whole ride. And so they've heard me talk about my relationship with my brother and my sister-in-law. And so just while I was in the garage, man, it hit me this scripture, this message was for me. And man, it happened, God touched our situation, bless him, on their anniversary, all the things that I've been yearning for, as far as the relationship between us three, God touched it on their anniversary. So man, it made me want to dive a little deeper into forgiveness, which is something I think we don't really talk about a lot, but it's a huge handicap in terms of family. We know how God feels towards family, right? Anything that God loves and God cherishes instantly becomes a target, main target for the enemy and Satan. And so, man, just to be at this place, man, with my brother and my sister-in-law, man, it's so amazing to see God, like move. I know how powerful he is and he can do. But for 15 years, I ain't gonna say he didn't do it. I'm gonna say we didn't put ourselves in a situation where his glory can come through and shine. So I'm gonna read Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. You guys there, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosened him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldn't not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Man, when I've read this, I've read it several times the last couple of weeks. I read it the first night, man, on the anniversary. I sent him a message and man, he called me. And it was nothing really powerful said, but it was everything that I've needed to hear. And you're talking 15 years of unbrokenness. And it is, and the crazy thing is, like, this passage, it wasn't, the things that kept us apart was never, it was nothing ever anything major. It was never anything major. And so some of this, I wrote down four steps to forgiveness, but then I also, it made me go deeper and wonder, I want you guys to help me because I got a couple of things. How do we get to the point where we're so hardened that we don't want to forgive people? One of mine, I think, number one for me that kept us in a bad place is unrealistic expectations. Especially, I'm lost. I'm setting expectations for someone when I really don't know who I am in anyway. Know what I mean? I'm growing as a man, also not even saved, just as a man. I went through a lot after my brother and my dad passed. And so I think I started setting expectations in the dark through the pain of finding myself through the loss of my dad and my brother. I think you start saying, hey, now well, with this brother here is going to do X, Y, Z, not talking about it. Not sit down and say, hey, this this is what I need from you, because we've been taught that we don't necessarily do that. Say, hey, as a brother, this is what I need from you. And so with the unrealistic expectations, no communication about what we think we should be doing, where we headed, even how you feeling, how are you healing? None of that happened. And so over 2 or 3 years, you start building up resentment, not necessarily even realizing that it's resentment, but I keep focusing on the expectations that nobody talked about. Nobody talked about the expectations, but the pain and the resentment was always there. And so, somebody dive in here real quick. Give me something else that keeps us here, Glenn. Brenton, somebody.
Well, the other part too is when you say unrealistic expectation, it's also you take things personal and you put people where in spots where they shouldn't be. They don't fit there. And then when you're taking it personal and they have no idea what's wrong with you. Right. Now you're holding a grudge. If you notice, as a husband, we say that about our wives. That sometimes that's the complaint that a man may have about his wife, is that she expects you to know what she thinks.
Right.
She expects you to know what we feel. But we do that with each other sometimes too. It's like if I'm close to you, I expect you should know, or I expect you to act a certain way, or I don't expect you to do that to me. But then when you do, my feelings are hurt, and I don't understand why. It's not all their fault, because I placed that on them at that particular time. And then when it happened, I get mad and want to be unforgiving.
Right. And that was one of the things that I have on the list also. What you got, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm on accord with what Prentice said. A lot of times we place expectations on people that don't know they have expectations placed on them. Mm-hmm. And so when, you know, they're going through their life and you are upset with them about something, they have no idea about what you're talking about. And, you know, and then you expect them to be okay dealing with a situation that you're dealing with, you know, on the other side. You're sitting there and they have expectations also of you and you don't know about it. And so then you get a conflict form because the two of you haven't taken the opportunity to discuss what your expectations from one another are. And I'm not even just talking about you and Bob, I'm talking about in any relationship that where people are together, they put expectations on each other and don't express what their outcome should be. And then when it falls apart or a strife comes in, you hold resentment and unforgiveness because you mad at them about something that was little that they didn't know anything about.
Right, right. And that's why
I think we could do damage to our kids the same way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We do.
Yeah. Is that we expect our kids to be one way because you've been so-called teaching them one way. And the reason I said so-called, because sometimes we have expectation that we hadn't even taught. Right. We haven't showed them how, or they haven't received it the way we thought they ought to receive it. And then now we're mad and we are ready to discipline the child or whatever. There's always tension. And sometimes it's we haven't did our job as parents. Not all the time, but sometimes we haven't did our job as parents. We haven't been as patient. We haven't been as, you know, as merciful as we should, and we haven't taught the way we should have. We just expect it on that level.
And it's good that you guys said that, because I list that first, because I think everything for me, I know for me personally, it started from there. Like I think in grief, during grief, you know what I'm saying? I don't think I consciously made a decision that I placed expectation. I just think I expected it. I don't know if I necessarily placed them there, because I was going through so much after dad and Corey died. I'm not necessarily saying, hey man, Bunk just gonna rock like this. But because I was in a grief, going through grief and missing and yearning. My family just been ripped apart. And so I think I just naturally expected X, Y, Z from my one sibling that's alive. And so when that didn't happen, what happened, it pushed me to seek. Because I didn't start playing ball until after Corey and Daddy passed, right? And so when they passed, I started playing ball. And boom, I'm in a world that felt like I could get everything that I was lacking from my sibling relationship. And it did. It felt like I'm not alone, because what happened was when they died, I felt very alone. And so I inserted myself into the situation where I'm never alone until after the games. After the games, I talked about this before. After the games, that long, you could not run loneliness. But I had temporary relief from it. But what happened, I got out and I became bigger, big, like bigger than I should have been. And now I'm fighting things as an adult now because of the unrealistic expectations that I had from my sibling that he knew absolutely nothing about. And then things start happening and you start, because of resentment, you don't sit down as men and say, hey man, I'm feeling X, Y, Z. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about it. Let's go grab something to eat and talk about it. But anyway, man, God is so good, man. God is so good. What is some things, man, that keeps us?
Hey, Todd, I guess, what if you put expectations on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And what if you, I mean, I feel like I've done that where I put too much expectations on myself and I kind of lost myself.
That happens. I think the night that Glenn and Prentice kind of spanked me the first time I broached this to the crew. that was kind of the paddle. I'm not sure Glenn and Prince, y'all helped me. I think that was the paddle that they was kind of using. That the expectations that we place on ourselves is generally more than we can bear. Basically what mm-hmm. I got that night that they was giving me. And then it causes all kind of other issues because it's too heavy to balance. You can't have a balanced life when you do that.
Mm-hmm. And what it does, Jonathan, when you sit there, you place great expectations on yourself and you don't live up to your own expectation concerning you, you begin to look down on other people who you think are hindering the growth that you want to accomplish. And then you start that path of self-resentment where you're sitting there, now you're beginning to resent you and saying, I'm not good enough, I'm not qualified, mm-hmm. I'm not worthy of this mm-hmm. life that I live. And it begins to tear you down, because your self-image of you is one of the most important things you have, because that's the key to your identity. You are what you believe yourself to be, and you become everything that you believe you can accomplish. If you put those expectations on and you fall short, you gotta look at it with the perspective of what can I do different, not what can I do better.
And I think the thing now, you got along with that, you got to understand too, there's nothing wrong with putting goals in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing, and putting goals in front of you is part of, should be a part of your life anyway.
Absolutely.
Setting things that I want to achieve, all right? But I think sometimes if we try and set the bar too high for our own good, well, some people may say you never set the bar too high. Well, I tend to disagree with that. I can always strive to reach for the top, right? But if I set the bar to the universe, and if I'm that person that self-indulges, when I don't reach the universe, my whole world is destroyed behind that. Instead of being confident in every step
uh-huh.
or in learning from every setback, that I can continue to grow and get where I need to be.
Exactly.
I think sometimes when we don't do that, we can put ourselves in a depression or call ourselves looking at others going, I could have been there, or mm-hmm. I should have been doing that, or mm-hmm. how did that person get there and I'm still here in this point in my life or down here. And we're not looking at what we have around us already. Instead, we are waddling in self-pity and self-doubt And now that self-pity and self-doubt is hindering other relationships that you need to be building and focusing in on as well. You can't reach nobody, you can't teach nobody if you're not around nobody. Right? If there's nobody's in your life, And then how are you learning? How are you learning to grow if you don't have the people in your life to help you grow and learn also?
Yeah, goal setting is important. I mean, when I'm teaching kids, I do the SWOT analysis: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And it's a self-evaluation. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What opportunities do my strengths give me? What threats are caused by my weaknesses? What can I do to alleviate the weaknesses in my life so I have less threats and find more success? And it is goal setting. And you have to do a true evaluation of yourself. And when, like Prentice said, but you got to set the bar to realism. Some people purposely set the bar so far out of reach that when they fall short, they don't feel like they did anything detrimental to themselves. Because they would say, mm-hmm. Well, I didn't feel I was going to do that anyway. And that's the wrong attitude to have. You should set goals that are attainable. So that, as Prentice said, you can build on your success. And when you're building on your success, there's less self-resentment and less resentment toward other people who are succeeding.
How important is communication? Because I think the top two things in my circumstance was, number one, the unrealistic expectations that they knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. And communicating, I think I was in such a dark place that I didn't know even how to share where I was at for so long. And then again, like I said, I dove into the league playing ball. And then y'all guys know me, baseball was absolutely, you think I love it now. when I first started playing, it was absolutely everything. I'm talking about period. Because I realized Corey wasn't born until, I started playing in 95. Corey wasn't born to 02. So you're talking 7 years or so that it was everything, all I had to focus on really myself and baseball. And so this is something that I'm getting attention from. I'm getting a lot of love from. I see that me and my brother is drifting away, but I can't communicate it. You know what I'm saying? I can't communicate it. And then anytime something happened, it was the end of the world.
Well, communication is important in any relationship. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably the most important part of any relationship, mm-hmm. because it allows you the opportunity to express what your expectations are and to listen to see what the other people's expectations are. And when it comes to marriage, when it comes to sibling relationship, when it comes to workplace, whatever relationship you have, if there's no communication, there is going to be a breakdown because nobody knows what's expected. Nobody knows what role they play and what they're supposed to be doing. And so like we were saying earlier, if you didn't express it, a person's going oblivious that you're having these feelings and you're not communicating it, they don't know what to say to you because they do not understand what it is that's called a strife. And that comes from lack of communication.
It's a relationship killer, mm-hmm. if it's not done correctly.
Correctly, yes.
All right, because it can destroy your relationships. And marriage, friendships, siblings, parents, whatever. It's a if communications is not there, it destroys because you go back to those expectations or what mm-hmm. am I expecting? It destroys it. Right. In marriage counseling, one of the things you talk about is finances. Well, one of the biggest thing about finances is communication.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right. Where the money's going. If we communicated what's supposed to take place and where it's going, it makes it easier. Even when you don't have a lot, mm-hmm. If you don't have and you're struggling and you are on the same page in communications about what we're going to do, it's a lot of things. But when you ain't communicating, it's two strangers living in the house.
Yeah,
roommates. When you ain't communicating, when you ain't taking those quiet moments, someone mentioned something about quiet moments or quiet places. sometimes in a relationship, you got to have that time where there's no distractions. Mm-hmm. Where it, whoever you're communicating with, y'all got to have that time to communicate. It's not what always a long, drawn out conversation. It just you sitting down having a conversation where you, either you're getting to know one another or you're discussing life, you're discussing your own goals, where you want to be together. It's a lot of those things. It's taking time together. It's taking time to go off and build a relationship. I'm going off with my uncle and my brother this weekend. We don't do it often. This is only the second time in 2 years. But it's the build. It could continue to strengthen the relationship, so we can have some quiet moments. It just he's my dad's only brother left, and he wants that relationship. He wants to keep that relationship with us, so we gonna have some men time.
Definitely necessary.
You know, mm-hmm. And you said something important right there too. Getting away with each other, so that you can establish your parameters. Creating intimacy, moments where it's just the two of you and you get to know them and they get to know you. I when I have marriage couples, and like you said, finances is one of the biggest killers of marriage. I tell couples to have weekly board meetings. CEO and the CFO get together, sit down at the kitchen table, put the bills out, and you segregate and separate what needs to happen and establish it. That communication is open because the two of you are seeing where everything is going and what the contribution need to be made. So many people put emphasis on, well, the man should do this and the woman should do that. But if y'all a team, don't make no difference where it's coming from as long as it's getting done. Right. And I think when you build that kind of relationship, it establishes camaraderie. Camaraderie is another word for intimacy. Mm-hmm. And when you get that intimacy, you see things begin to form differently than outside a relationship that doesn't have it. And when you look at it, you talk about communication. When you have that kind of communication where you're open and the conversation becomes more intimate and that person gets to know you, less likely unexpected expectations are going to come in and ruin the relationship.
Right. That's good. That's good. Oh, yeah. Man, y'all boys on fire tonight. My That's third thing. Go ahead, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to talk about that as well, because me and my dad had a relationship similar to what you were talking about, June Bump had went through. My mom and my dad got divorced when I was 9 years old, and I held so many expectations above his head that as a 9 year old, I didn't know how to communicate, but it bled into my adulthood and things like that. And I was expecting him to do things that he just wasn't capable of with him and my mom being together, not being together anymore. I'm expecting him to be there, you know, for certain things and be there all the time for things. And when he wasn't there, some other people may look at it as something small or minute, but for me, it just created an avalanche, just kept building up and building up. Mm-hmm. And thank God, the last year of his life in 2016, I was able to go sit down and talk to him, and we were able to start healing from that. And I feel like we were in probably one of the best spots in 2017, February, when he passed away, that we had ever been since I was 9 years old. So, I mean, the communication is key. Now, when I was nine, obviously, I didn't know how to communicate, but I feel like if, you know, as a young adult, if I could have went to him like, hey, you know, this is how I felt when, you know, you and mama went through the divorce and, you know, X, Y, Z happened, that we'd have been able to talk about that. And he could have been open and honest with me in communication and explained from his point of view, and we could have gotten there a lot sooner. But without that communication, like I said, the small things that I was holding him up to that he didn't meet snowballed into huge issues.
Right. That's a perfect segue to my number three. And it's number three, but it's the biggest thing that I fail in forgiveness. And this is probably for most people.
Yep.
I fail to make a conscious effort, a conscious decision to forgive. I wasn't intentional about being forgiving and forget, and some of it for me is because I didn't really know how we got there. And, you know, in this walk, we still feel like we got to know everything. I didn't necessarily know. I knew we were fractured, and that should have been enough. That should have been enough. But me being old knucklehead that I am, Why are we fractured? Who fault is it? I ain't did nothing. They did this. He did this. I ain't done nothing. No, Lord, they need to forgive me. And in the scriptures, that scripture, Matthew 18, 21 through 35, tells us everything that we need to know in this term in reference to forgiveness. Why 70 times 7 a day? Hit my rock head, didn't want to do, I didn't do it one time in 15 years. When I look at them numbers, man, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot because we have to be intentional about forgiveness. Forgiveness is just not something that comes naturally or easily. You have to be willing to say you're sorry, which for a macho jock like myself is one of the hardest things. Man, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. Man, you almost had to put your hand in my mouth to get those out. And now that I'm growing and understanding what God and Jesus wants from me, I got to get it. Psalms 29, 11. God does not ask you to do something without giving you his strength, which is the key and power to do it. I'll function so long in the natural trying to make stuff happen. And when it didn't work, you just say, forget it. And they keep going. But that's how resentment starts. Resentment starts when you keep putting things in the box and you put the box in the corner. Oh, they haven't put it in the box and keep. Now I got boxes in the corner. When I go back, just like when you move, Josh, you don't put no labels on them boxes. You go in the garage, you say, go get some. Now you don't know where that is. That causes frustration, and it's just what it is, man. Man, this forgiveness thing is huge.
Well, that's pride. That's it. It's pride. And the scriptures of pride coming for the fall. And no pride makes us stupid. Really, that's what and pride has done so much to so many different people because they want to be right. They want want to stand on their own morals and their own laws, and that's just the way it is. They don't want to come off of it,
right?
And then because of that, you are blinded. Pride can blind you. You could be completely blinded and oblivious to your world is crumbling, and you look around, and the next thing you know, you got nothing. Mm-hmm. A bunch of regret, a bunch of hurt, and you are by yourself, you and your pride, because of that. And that's what it does to you. And so many people, and we've been in spots like that. I'm sorry, my name is Prentice. Prentice has been in spots for like that, to the point, you know, you have to get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
Humility, be humble. I mean, it's a word that takes men and women down. I can't just say men. I know women. It takes them down to not want to humble out. And the main ones we do it against are the ones closest to us.
Mm-hmm.
Our closest family member, our spouse, our kids, whoever, our siblings, is because you want to stand your ground and be right instead of humbling out.
Mm-hmm.
And who says you have to be right all the time? It's better to be wrong and keep peace sometimes if it ain't going to kill you, you know? Especially in the...
Hey, guess what, Pretty? What you just said. You remember what I told you? On their anniversary, neither one of us was right. Nobody was right. God put it in our heart to connect. It wasn't about who was wrong. So for 15 years, it was apparently it was about who was right and wrong. But when God touched it, nobody was right. Nope, we were both wrong because we both failed to make the decision to forgive. So neither one of us was right. We both was wrong because we knew it was fractured, but we were so pigheaded that we didn't make the decision to forgive and move past whatever that needed to be moved past. Brother Dakota.
Amen. God bless you, man of God. Hallelujah, God. Amen. I was... didn't hear him too much, just caught in a little bit with Brother Prentice and Brother Jerome or Brother Glenn was saying, but reading over the lesson that you had gave, maybe I didn't spoke about it already, but the hypocrisy of it all, but you know, you asking for forgiveness, but then when somebody owe you, you want to get all your stuff back and put them in danger like that and throw them in prison. That's, I love that parable. That's an awesome parable, brother. Every time I see the hypocrisy of that, and there's people out there that's just like that. But that forgiveness thing, like the word says, you got to have it. You can't get in. You don't want to let something like forgiveness keep you out of heaven when it is too easy to do. But somebody put on Facebook a while ago, another man of God says it's easy for preachers to preach forgiveness when they've never been wronged like that. So I said, wow. But nevertheless, if you've never been wrong to that point, you still have to preach it anyway. He says it's easy for people that they've never been wrong before to preach forgiveness and went like that. But, you know, but like I said on Sunday, betrayal, that comes from obviously somebody very close to you. It's not going to come from the mailman or somebody like that. And like I said, no matter how close that person is to you, a child, a spouse, a sibling, as bad as I know that hurts, and it hurts like there's no end. But you have to have forgiveness in your heart. If Jesus forgave us for all the stuff that we do and whatnot, and he forgives us, like I said, how can you make it into heaven? How can you not forgive them if I done forgave you? And you just have to do it. Just all it is to it. We got to be reminded of that from time to time. We got to continue to teach that and preach that. Because people get done wrong every day. Every day people get done wrong. And I believe they forget all about it. And you think just because you're a good person or you think that God understands your pain and that makes it all right. No, that don't make it all right. That's a trick of the enemy, that God understands my heart. And don't do that. Do not let the enemy move you by that. God understands my heart. And what now, how wrong you've been done.
Good job. Brother Glenn and Brother Prentice, I didn't share with you guys that when I left, I was in the hotel that week. And so when I left the garage, while I was in the garage, in my spirit, it took me back to that lesson with you and Prentice pranked me virtually. And so when I got back to the room, I put that on. I listened to a lot of our videos while I'm doing my homework for school and all that. And man, when I put it on, it was so, man. You guys had 200 nuggets that night at least, man. But what does forgiveness do in God's eyes to the kingdom? How do the kingdom sees a forgiving heart consistently? How do the kingdoms view that?
You talk about God?
Yeah.
Well, another parable says that, a lesson, not even a parable. Jesus states this. He said, if any man has aught against his brother, leave your worship, go find your brother, make peace with him. And what that tells us is that God sees forgiveness as paramount, as Prentice said a few minutes ago. And because of the fact that he has allowed reconciliation by way of forgiveness. If we don't know how to forgive, then he can't reconcile us back to himself. When Jesus went to that cross and he died for us, he was the point of reconciliation. And that's what forgiveness is about. It's about reconciliation, about fixing that which has been torn down or broken, taking the opportunity to let that other party know that I don't hold this against you anymore. And this is not going to separate us. God is all about relationship. Matter of fact, he said he created man so he could commune with him. And he communed with Adam. It wasn't until Satan came into the garden that relationship was disrupted. And he was hidden from God. And when God said, Adam, where are you? And then when he asked him the question, he said, who told you you were naked? And then he passed judgment on Eve and the serpent. And he clothed them. When he clothed them, he told, you know, that whole point of sacrificing that animal to clothe him was an act of reconciliation, an act of forgiveness. We are created after the image and likeness of God, and he is a forgiving, merciful God. We cannot say we're Christ-like if we're not forgiving and merciful, because Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection, allowed forgiveness so we could be the propitiation of God's love toward us. And so when we talk about how the kingdom sees it, it is very paramount. Because without reconciliation, there cannot be a relationship. Without relationship, there can't be intimacy. That's why he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because the me is all about forgiveness. repent. The very first thing he says when Jesus comes on the scene, to repent, be forgiven. And that's what he's talking about. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be forgiven, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we have to be forgiven and forgiving so that you can be Christ-like in the earth. If we hold people accountable for things that, one, they don't know anything about, or even if they know about it, but have to take the opportunity to apologize, but we're still trying to hold it over their head, we are not showing Christianity. We're not showing Christ-like attributes. We're showing attributes of the enemy, because the enemy is the one that charges. If you look every time that, even in the Garden of Eden, he charged her. And when he came with the words, he died, not even the tree, he said, you shall surely not die. He gave a charge. When Jesus was in the on the mountaintop, and he said, command is ready to be made stone, he was charging him. And we have to answer the charge the same manner that Jesus did, with the mind and actions of Christ, and give it to the word. And when you say, how does the kingdom view it? It is most, I think, one of the most precious things God has given us, the ability to be forgiven and to forgive.
Yeah.
Well, and Glenn, you brought up Jesus. You know, the scripture said when Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them.
Then they didn't know what they do.
Right. And now, and think about that. Now, and the reason why I said think about that, because it just hit me a minute ago. He says, forgive them.
Well, they know,
but they haven't asked for forgiveness.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
They would, because right after that, they divided up his clothes and cast lies. So he goes to the Father to ask the Father to forgive them while they are still in sin. While their hearts are still hard, he asks the Father to forgive
him. Man.
Because now, if you think about how powerful that is, these people just nailed, our sins just nailed Jesus to the cross. He just went through suffering, being hung for something he did not do. And the words are, forgive them. And we have a tendency to hold on to minor, insignificant things done to us on earth.
Right here.
And the torture and the suffering that Jesus went and asked for forgiveness of people whose hearts was not ready there for the relationship. Their hearts was not ready. They wasn't ready for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says, forgive them anyway.
And you know, I mean, I love that, Prentice. I mean, the love and the forgiveness were there even when they were ignorant.
Yes.
Of understanding what they were doing. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. A lot of times we're ignorant of the love that somebody's trying to show toward us, or God's trying to show toward us, and we act out of ignorance. But when we come to the knowledge, we should have the wherewithal to say, forgive me. And a lot of times, because of pride, as it was stated earlier, we hold back on asking for forgiveness. You know, when I wrote that letter to my ex-wife, it freed me, because I held so many things against her. It was her fault. We could have got through this. We could have got that. But when I wrote that poem, I'm sorry, and I sent it to her, and she forgave me. No, we didn't get back together. Ain't nothing changed that way. But it freed both of us, so that we could have a civil relationship that is not antagonistic. And for me as a man, it also allowed me, by asking for forgiveness, getting off of my pride, being humble to ask for forgiveness in a way, and then hear her say, I forgive you. It made me realize that I needed to do things differently if I ever was gonna end up in another relationship. Because if I allow pride to come in, it's going to separate. And when it separates, it's going to tear up. When unforgiveness comes in, it separates and it tears up. And I was thinking, I was saying it earlier, sometimes you got to learn when not to do nothing. And that's hard.
Right. Very hard.
It's hard when you got to learn not to do nothing. After you've asked for forgiveness, the best thing you can do then, you got to wait it out until it comes. If she had never answered me, at least I took the opportunity to ask. And, but, you know, it was an immediate response and I blessed God for it. But the lesson I learned was I can't be prideful and serve God, first of all. And I can't be prideful and try to enter into another relationship because I'm going to carry all that baggage of pride right along with me. And pride's a hairy rock to carry.
Yes.
It's a very heavy rock to carry.
What I love about Matthew, that passage, is that it was detail and forgiveness in that. It was not optional, meaning I can't choose who to forgive. Because that's kind of what we do. Hey, I'm going to forgive. I forgive that person there. They ain't all that close to me. You know, I'm still same offense. Think about how we do that. Like we talked about, we all pretty much said the nature of the relationships shouldn't determine the level of forgiveness that we give. But we do that. You know, my brother was the closest person to me, but I've been offended by other people. I forgave them. And so in 18 through 21 through 35, it didn't say sometimes or on Thursdays when you feel good after payday. It says nothing about that. It says 70 times 70 daily. Mm-hmm. Like the standard has been set for forgiveness. Now we have to choose whether or not we want to do it, but it ain't like we don't know it. We know what it says. We know what it says and what it should look like.
You know, it's funny that it seems that the closer a person is to you, the greater wrath you have for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, like you just said, a person can do the exact same thing, but because that person is close to you, you have more wrath toward them. It's more heated toward them. Maybe because you feel the expectation is you shouldn't have hurt me in that way because you're close to me, you know my circumstance. But then it goes back to that same thing we said before. How much did we communicate that was something that we were dealing with? But we hold wrath against that person because they are the closest. And it's easy to hit something that's next to me than something that's far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shoot at and take shots at that person that's the closest to us because they're in arm's reach. And it's not fair. And we need to learn that. I mean, I'm sorry. As Prentice said, my name is Glenn. I need to learn.
All right.
I like that. I like that.
Amen. In the book of Acts, when it talks about Stephen, that's a powerful story there with that brother. Yes, remember, Stephen was getting stoned to death.
Yes, sir.
Stoned. I mean, as the stones was hitting this brother, he kneeled down and asked, "Do not lay this sin to their charge." And he asked God to receive his spirit, and they say he fell asleep. I mean, as he's getting stoned, you getting hit, and still yet have the presence of mind to ask God not to charge them that sin. I said, my God. That was Stephen, you talking about a powerful brother. And then it said he lay down and he fell asleep. My God.
And that deep there. That's forgiveness in a nutshell. Yes. Chapter 7. I'm gonna read that.
And Paul was there. Imagine the example that lays Paul. Because the Bible says Paul had the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. And that began his wrath.
My God. Now,
Jesus using this the opportunity to show him, to let him peep into his future of who he is to become. But then he takes the different path because of unforgiveness and misunderstanding.
Right.
Goes down the wrong road until he has his own stoning experience when he gets knocked down by that great light. And his eyes go.
Amen.
And then the question is asked, who are you?
Mm.
And Jesus, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. It's hard to kick against the prick. I showed you by the example Stephen should have become, but you took the wrong road. Now I need you to understand this is what I'm about. I need you to go reconcile the Gentile back to me. I need you to teach them forgiveness. I need you to teach them understanding. I need you to teach them love. And then teaching them, you show what you learn when you watch Stephen get stoned. Good God Almighty.
My God.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Boy, the same good night, man.
Amen.
I had four steps to forgiveness. Number one, uncover your anger or the reason why you won't forgive, you're not willing to forgive. Number two, you have to decide to forgive intentionally. When you think about that 70 times 7, You cannot get to it without intentionality. Cannot. Because the number by itself is mind-boggling when you think about that from a daily perspective. Number three is work on forgiveness. For me, that's like, and I think for me, I always thought it had to be something big, or I just knew I was dead wrong before I had the mindset of forgiveness. But I think it should be the opposite way. A smaller offense, forgiving people on the smaller things, because how often do we often get the big offense? We get offended more probably on the smaller scale than the bigger scale. And number four, which was me in a nutshell, release from emotional prison. And this is something that I had to apologize to Tiffany, because she told me a couple of years back, she said, hey, man, anytime you talk to your brother or y'all was around each other, two or three days and you be in a funk, and it bothered the family. And I never agreed with it. One day they wrote down notes and had examples and showed me the notebook. I argued with the notebook. I argued with the notes. Nah, that ain't right. I got my daughter, my wife, and my son with a notepad that they all got things that they said they noticed after we spent time with each other. So that's that emotional prison. That's what it looks like. That's what an emotional prison looks like. It's not a physical place, but it's an emotional place that means you jacked up inside and your thoughts, you can't get your thoughts right. You're snapping at people, you're fussing by little stuff. And so those were some of the four steps to forgiveness, man. Really good night, man. Anybody got some stuff before we get to these shout outs and takeaways? Jonathan? Your Broncos looking really good. But we ain't gonna talk about it.
We win a game, we're supposed to win.
Well, you ain't looking good then. Okay. Hey, man, let's get these shout out and takeaways. I checked on Jerome, man. I'm probably gonna give him a call. He said he was really busy, but I'm just gonna make sure you're okay. I'm gonna call him when I get off from here, when I head to work. But give me some takeaways, Jonathan.
Thank you for tonight. Forgiveness is a tough thing because people can take advantage of that with you, and then that can turn you the other way, not even bother with them no anymore.
Right.
But forgiveness is more for you than it is for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, that's still going to work in life. Just that forgiveness thing going to be around for past week on. It's going to – got to forgive. You got to have that heart.
Good job, Johnson. Good job. Love you. Brother Josh.
You did an awesome job tonight, bro, with this listen. Just got me over here thinking in my feelings. I know that, I told y'all what me and my dad went through and everything. And you can ask my wife, my kids, anybody who was around my dad and my kids. And he was the greatest in the world. And I wonder if all that coldness that I showed him and pushed on him for all them years was him trying to show me through them, because he felt like he couldn't get through to me. And, you know, just how much I distorted that relationship on my end, because I had a part in it too. I went nine forever. And that forgiveness, man, it's a beast. And like Jonathan said, it's going to be here long after us.
Good job, Brother Josh. Love you, man. Love you. Brother Prentice.
Yeah, good lesson on tonight on forgiveness and pride. You know, it can destroy our lives. We can destroy the people. It can hurt the people around us. We can, by being prideful and not deciding to humble out. It hurts our marriages. It hurts our relationships with our children, with our siblings. You know, even the unforgiveness of people hurting you that they don't even know you hurt, that they hurt you, but you didn't communicate that. And
right.
And you holding a grudge, right? Communications are the key, is a key part of that. So good lesson on tonight. Appreciate it.
Good job, Brother Prince. Love you. Brother Dakota.
Yeah. All bad tonight. God bless every last one of you guys. Love you. And forgiveness, like I said, is a powerful thing. Let us continue to have forgiveness in our heart when somebody do us wrong. And like I said, forgive. Even if you think you haven't done anything wrong, continue to ask for forgiveness for yourself and whatnot, and just somebody do you wrong, please forgive, because you don't want something as small or simple as forgiveness to keep you from making it into heaven. So please don't do it. Let's be humble and let's forgive. God bless, brothers.
Good job, Brother Cody. Good job. Love you, man. Wow, man. Man, it's all the glory goes to God. Because of my circumstance, man, for him to show me this at this moment, it's just such a powerful feeling for me, because I'm in a place where he's working on me. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I just know that he's working, and he still has his arms around me, which is the best feeling. He still has my, I don't have all the answers. I don't need them. I just know he has his hands around me, which is all I need at this moment. Cause I really don't. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know exactly what next week looks like, but I do know, and I take comfort in knowing that he has his arms around me. And that's all I need, man. I thank you guys. I love each and every one of you, man. Y'all guys are my rock. Having you guys, men of God like this, is something I've never had. And I don't take you guys for granted at all. So thank you for tonight. Brother Glenn, take us home.
Amen. As always, man, and as been stated, awesome lesson about forgiveness and unforgiveness, and how if we take the opportunity to understand it, you know, we can better our relationships. And you said something very important a second ago. You said you don't understand it, but you don't need to understand. Sometimes the best miracles God can do is the one that's unexpected. But you took your hands off, but then you allowed him to lead. And that is one of the places where I struggle too. I mean, I struggle too in trying to figure God out. What am I supposed to do? Why is this not like this? And, you know, and then I have to come to myself. I would say the prodigal son came to himself. He understood his place and where he should be. But he said something important. He said, but I'm going to go to my father's house and tell him I'm no more worthy to be your son, but should be like one of your hired servants. But his daddy forgave him and restored him back to his rightful place. A lot of us are about to walk into some restored places because we have now understood that the humility it takes to say I'm sorry is greater than the offense we committed. And I bless God for the opportunity to understand that. My forgiveness or asking for forgiveness is greater than the offense I committed. His daddy didn't even think about what he said to him to get the money to go. He just restored him back to his place and put him back into who he was. And his reality was changed to be what it was before he left. And I thank God for that. And to understand that when I asked for forgiveness, I got access back to my position and to my place. And I bless God for it. Anybody got any prayer requests that they want to, I want you to just say it out in the atmosphere, man, because there's just so much going on that God is getting ready to really move. And I just am excited about the move that's about to take place, because the spiritual realm is on fire right now.
Pray for my good friend, Dana. She just lost her sister.
Amen.
Pray for the family.
Amen. Amen. No one said, Father God, is in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to give your name all glory, honor, and praise. And Father, you heard the prayer request going out for Dana, Father, for the loss of a sister and for that family, God, that needs your arms around them right now, God. Father, we know you can do it. Father, you can give them comfort, God, where there seems like there is no peace. And Father, in our lives, where turmoil has been turned up, God, where things have been disrupted, Father, when we reach out to you and ask, God, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So, Father, we stand on your promise that you have thought the good thought towards us, Father. Thoughts are good and not evil. Father, we thank you for this word that has gone forth and the man of God that brought it, Father. We ask right now that you restore that virtue unto him a hundredfold return, Father, and give him the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, as he stands on the premises of tomorrow, God, we ask right now, Father, did you open up his eyes and see in the spirit, God, what you have released unto him, Father, like you did the servant that was in the cave that saw the rain coming from afar off. Rain in his life, blessings like never before, God. And Father, restore that which has been torn down. Satan, we command by the blood of Jesus Christ that you take your hands off off anyone that is associated with this group, God, or anybody that's calling on the name of Jesus Christ. You have no authority over that blood. Yeah. And by every account of his word, you do nothing but bow down and be conflicted in yourself, knowing that you can do nothing to overpower the strength that has been given to us by the authority of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for what you're about to do in each and every life represented here, God. And even if they're not here right now, God, we pray a special blessing on them, God, that they'll be able to receive, God, what you have for them. Father, we thank you for the restoration right now that is breaking forth in the spirit. Move on this land, God. Bring us back together. Make us whole. Because you said in your word, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Amen. And Father, we are your people right now, coming in together, Father, calling on your holy and righteous name. Do it, God, like you've never done before. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all glory, honor, and praise. It's in the matchless name of Jesus Christ that we do pray this prayer. And all agreement say amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Awesome prayer. Amen. Awesome prayer. Man, great night, guys. Great night. Y'all have a blessed week and a great weekend. Be safe. See you guys on Tuesday. And who that?
Hoorah. Who them boys, baby? We them boys.
You've been waiting all night to say that.
And stop your toe.
God bless you, brother.
Y'all be good, man.
All right, man.
Love y'all.
Yeah, love y'all.